Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 5 of week number 23, studying Matthew chapter 23. As we begin, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. There you will find links to everything that we offer: audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to our IGH 260 broadcasts, and links to our Bible study courses. New this week, a sermon delivered by John William McGarvey on July 2, 1893. The premise, in McGarvey's own words, "Imagine that we have never heard the word baptism." McGarvey works his way through the New Testament, and when he arrives at a text using the word baptism, he does all that he can to let that text explain its meaning. To hear and to read McGarvey's message, go to our free page at internationalgospelhour.com. You will also find it linked at our Facebook page, facebook.com/internationalgospelhour. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's return to our study of Matthew chapter 23. In our last broadcast, we noted 4 other outward ways that the scribes and the Pharisees called attention to themselves. First, Jesus said they make their phylacteries broad, chapter 23, verse 5. Second, Jesus said that they enlarge the borders of their garments, also chapter 23, verse 5. Third, he said that they sought the best places at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, chapter 23, verse 6. And fourth, that they wanted to be recognized wherever they went as teachers, desiring to be called rabbi even in the marketplaces, Matthew chapter 23, verse 7. We already covered what it meant to make their phylacteries broad, and we were in the midst of discussing how they enlarged the borders of their garments. Though not identical to making their phylacteries broader, the principle employed here has not changed. We read from Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 41, where God directed the children of Israel to put tassels on their garments. The tassels, rendered as borders in Matthew 23:5, were intended to be a reminder to Israel that they were not to follow harlotry, but that they were rather to remember and to do all my commandments. It appears that Jesus' clothing, consistent with this Old Testament directive, had such tassels. In Matthew 9:20, we read, "And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment." The words here translated as "hem of his garment" correspond to the tassels that we see in Numbers chapter 15 and the border of the garment that we see in Matthew chapter 23. A similar situation occurs in Matthew 14:36, where people who sought to touch the hem of his, Jesus' garment, and did so, were made perfectly well. The issue was not whether or not the scribes and the Pharisees were to have such tassels on their clothing, but rather how they displayed them. Jesus said that they enlarged the borders of their garments. Enlarge means to cause to be large, of either physical or non-physical entities, to make large, long, make great. The assumption was that by making these tassels or these hems larger, they not only called attention to their garments, but also to themselves. Bauer's second definition, to cause to be held in greater esteem through praise or deeds, exalt, glorify, magnify, speak highly of, probably applies as a corollary and an intended meaning to what the scribes and the Pharisees did literally. Both elements that we have discussed so far, making their phylacteries broad and enlarging the hem of their garments, are consistent with the next two criticisms that Jesus would point out. Third, these religious leaders were always looking to be in the best seats. Assuming that they sat in Moses' seat as his alleged spiritual successors, it was a natural thing to place themselves in the best seats wherever they went, at the feasts, in the synagogues. All of this drew attention to themselves and to their self-assumed and self-imposed importance. Truth be told, what they wanted for themselves did not differ much from what, in other cultures, was also a prized possession. In the ancient Near East, including in the nation of Israel, kings were always seated in a place of prominence, thus a position of honor and rule. See, for example, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 25, and concerning Solomon's throne, read 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 19. These cultural practices mimicked what their respective gods did, and even the true God was often depicted as being seated on high. Psalm chapter 7, verse 7. For the scribes and the Pharisees and others too, where they sat was a declaration of their visibility, thus a declaration of their importance and authority. They wanted that as much as Haman wanted Mordecai to be killed and himself to be exalted in a kingly way. See Esther chapter 3, verse 1. This, of course, fits the phylactery and border emphasis that we just noted. Fourth and final, in this section anyway, the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to be recognized as teachers. The term rabbi means Lord, Master, my Lord. Though it was used properly as a form of address, it came to be an honorary title for outstanding teachers of the law. The term in the New Testament was not restricted to these leaders. It was used of John the Baptizer, John chapter 3, verse 6, but most frequently of Jesus, for example, Matthew 26, verse 25 and 49. There's nothing wrong with being a teacher. There's nothing wrong with being called or addressed as a teacher. In the culture of that day, those who were greater than others, or who assumed they were greater, would typically be greeted by someone lesser first, and only afterward would the greater than return greetings. We recognize similar protocols even today. But in the greater context, it appears that the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to be known as teachers or rabbi to the exclusion of others. That will be seen as we move into the following verses. In Matthew 23, verses 8 through 12, Jesus, following up on what we just saw in Matthew 23, 7, again cautions against undue recognition and self-promotion. Jesus just took the scribes and the Pharisees to task for drawing attention to themselves in four ways. They made their phylacteries larger. They made the borders of their garments larger. They sought the best seats everywhere. And finally, they sought to be recognized as rabbi, not just in the synagogues and in the temple, but even in this context in the marketplaces. Jesus continued to address that subject in the next few verses, but with a distinct twist. Jesus called out the religious leaders and anyone who would imitate them for preferring three titles, not just one. Jesus said, "Do not be called rabbi. Do not call anyone on earth your father. Do not be called teachers." These three descriptive terms or titles can be used positively in a given context. Let's look at each of them. Those who are masters or teachers can legitimately be called rabbi. We have already noted that John the Baptist was called rabbi and that the term was frequently used of Jesus. The term father had a history in Jewish culture as a term of reverence and respect for great teachers and prophets. Elisha used the term of Elijah, as he, Elijah, was taken up in a whirlwind to heaven. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12 reads, "And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen.' So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. 4 chapters later, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 21, the same word was applied to Elisha, Elijah's prophetic successor. Additionally, it was used as a term of respect in the tradition of Judaism's religious leaders. Wilkins notes that Father, or Abba, occurs regularly in rabbinic sources as a title for esteemed scholars and rabbis, and the term teacher, though seemingly innocent enough in most contexts, was singled out by Jesus as a term that was also subject to abuse. Interestingly, the specific term that Jesus used in this verse, twice in fact, appears nowhere else in the New Testament. It's not the usual term that's translated as teacher. Its meaning was not just teacher, but also leader or guide. The role of this kind of teacher was valued in ancient society, as, according to Speke, prominent students and pupils of such teachers would often support them in life and then honor them in death. Speke notes, disciples often set up funerary steles or compose inscriptions in honor of their teachers. We stated that these three descriptive terms or titles can be viewed positively in some context, but as it appears in this setting, these terms and titles were not at all positive. As you read through the text, we learn that Jesus' reasoning, and thus Jesus' warning about these titles, were all rooted in the same principle. Do not be called rabbi, for you only have one teacher, and Christ is that teacher. Do not call others father, for you only have one father, Jesus here referring to the heavenly Father. And then third, do not be called teacher, this unique form of teacher, meaning teacher as leader or guide, because only Christ fills that role. Jesus' warning in this setting was not that there was anything inherently wrong with being a teacher or a leader or being identified using terms of respect and or endearment. Jesus' concern was that these terms and titles were often used to elevate certain people, in this case, the religious leaders, the scribes, and the Pharisees, above others in an inordinate and therefore inappropriate way. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 23. This reminder as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.